for you are amongst us. We not only know that by faith, but we sense your presence is amongst us.
Amen.
We have confidence that you're amongst us because Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes. Journey with us. Open our eyes to see this great love.
Yeah.
This love that has been shed abroad in our hearts. May we find ways to explain and to demonstrate this great love in the places and spaces. We thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, a little bit of perspective in our work on a national level. We have chance to speak and work with people within various departments within the union in Peru. And some of their reflections is helping us to shape kind of how we respond to things, not just within the country, but within the Baptist context in Peru. And I think in doing that, we're finding opportunities. We're finding also some challenges as well. And this has helped us to kind of prayerfully respond as mission workers, but also to encourage others within the union to respond as well. Yeah. So, Michelle.
So, there are lots of young people in Peru, younger population, and the church, our part of the church, the Baptists, very, very traditional because they were planted by Southern Baptists a few years ago, predominantly, and very loyal to that spirituality. So there's the founders versus the new generation, and how do you marry both? It's a real, real challenge over there. There's also a lack of people rocking up and saying, yeah, I want to be a Baptist minister. Similar to here, not very many people saying that they want to be trained for ministry and go into it full time. So that's a real challenge in the churches of Peru. But at the same time, there's a new generation of professionals. So lots of young people going to university, getting degrees, and working. But their salary supports a lot of people, grandma, grandpa, aunties, uncles. This person that's the professional in the family is responsible for all these people. So it's hard for them, even if they have a call to ministry, to step out into that because of the impact on all of the others. So how do they respond?
Yeah, and this is some of the observations, some of the things we're talking about. And there's two tensions that I've been involved in listening on both sides. So the more traditional people are like, well, you see, these young people, this is the problem with them. They just don't listen. This is why we have all these problems. And this is part of the narrative that I'm listening to and grappling with. Not only that, when God speaks to them, they don't say yes to God. I mean, look at them. So this is one side, this is one particular worldview that maybe you and I have said disgruntledly, but this is a voice that is quite a strong voice. They don't listen, look at them, and they don't say yes to God. I mean, where are they? They're even in church. This is the problem. And these tend to be not always the older generation, because there are some young people saying this as well.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, it's the old. No, it's something in the ether where there's just hopelessness. So the first thing we do is we point fingers.
Yeah.
Okay? That's one voice. The other voice is perhaps we need to think about how we do our theological training. You see, we have these young professionals who can't give up their job and go and sit in a Bible school for 3 or 4 years. Maybe we can think about how we contextualize our theological training. So it's not just doctrine, but it also communicates to the world that they live in, whether it be the arts, whether it be business, whether it be social problems. So a theology which not just fits the preacher, and I'm not saying theological training is not helpful, because I'm theologically trained, but there are different ways that you can use that theology, and there's different lenses of theology which need to be communicated. And that's new to the union, and they're wrestling with these two things. So if you think about us, think about those two big perspectives which are clashing at the moment. Mm. And God somehow has put us in there to respond and to give space for people to think. You know, this is not a new problem. This is not just a Peru problem.
Yeah.
This is an international problem. Mm. But in that, we are seeing signs of hope with a new generation. And this is what we want to share through Scripture, Michelle.
So that's a picture of Samuel talking to Eli because God spoke to him and he didn't know what to do with that voice. Who's this speaking to me? He spoke to Eli and God said, and Eli said, listen and respond, here I am. So a picture of the old and the new. Next slide. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 20 and verse 26. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli, the priest, would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. So Eli was the priest in those days to the people Israel, the mediator between God and the people. And he had two sons that were notoriously bad. They took the people's offerings, they spent it on whatever they wanted, they got drunk. They were messing around with women in the community and not living holy lives before God. And Eli never really corrected his sons. He never took them to one side and said, young men, what you're doing is wrong. This is not how we live. You need to change. Even though he had been warned, he never corrected his sons. On the other hand, you have Hannah, who really desired a child and prayed to God for this child. God blessed her with Samuel, and she offered him back to God. Different kind of parenting.
Okay, next slide,
different perspective. Okay.
That's Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like a picture of Jesus. So let's just hear scriptures from this now. Luke chapter 2, for those who are taking notes. Verse 22 to 26. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem, that's Jesus, to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That's Luke 22, verses 22 to 26. Context, the eighth day of his life, and the custom was to bring the child to the temple for blessing. Some of you will know that in certain cultures, especially in the African culture, the eighth day is a significant day to bring your child for blessing. And it's a time when you give them the names as well. And the names, especially in the African and in other cultures, have great significance.
Yeah.
So this was a very, very special time for Jesus, and a very, very special time for the people of Israel at the time, because the promise had now come.
Yeah.
And we see the Spirit of God at work in so many different ways. The next slide, please. Michelle.
Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
So Simeon, somebody who was from the older generation,
mm-hmm.
now doing what we call a transition, handing over, you could argue, a mantle of blessing to the new generation. We see that there, don't we? Somebody who was expectant and waiting for this transition to happen, for this culmination to happen, this salvation to happen in a person who we know as Jesus, as the Messiah, old and the new. But the other thing to bear in mind is this hopelessness. Next slide. Michelle shared of the hopelessness in the time of the Levitical priesthood, before the Levitical priesthood of Eli. This hopelessness where on the front, on the face of it, they're doing and saying the right things. And in that, the people are getting blessed. But unfortunately, Eli's heart, Eli's
ethics.
Yeah, the way he just lived his life personally was not in line with what he's saying, which brings pollution, doesn't it?
Mm.
It doesn't bring sustainability. And God saw that.
Mm.
I'm sure other people see it too. But God always has an answer. And the answer was to start again with a new generation. And he started with a woman who is desiring for a baby. She didn't realize that she's praying for this baby, and God answered the prayer. She looked absolutely crazy in her response in the temple. The baby came, and the baby was given as a seed to bring salvation for those. In the same way, my brothers and sisters, this is how Jesus came into the earth.
Next slide. So in Peru, there's this custom where children are given preferential treatment. If there's a long queue at the bank or at the supermarket and you come in with a baby, you go to the front of the queue. It's really nice. So you borrow babies if you want to get things done quickly. But also the elderly are very well respected. So if you're elderly, you come in with your stick, front of the queue, front of the queue. So there's this preferential treatment given to people on the face of it. But on the other side, there's a lot of child poverty. You see children begging in the streets, not going to school. There's a lot of abuse. It's very, very challenging. And it's a bit of an oxymoron in Peruvian culture. Simeon here, you can see he was waiting for something to happen. Imagine God giving you a promise and you living with that for years. He was old now. And God said to him, "You are going to see the Savior of your people, the Savior of the world." And imagine him getting ready in the morning and saying, "Today's the day, today's the day." And he goes to the temple on the same day that Jesus is being presented, and he holds the baby in his hands and he praises God and says, "Yes, I'm ready to die now. I've seen everything. Would you bless this child? Would you bless your people?" In a similar way, we are waiting for Jesus to come back the second time. Amen? Amen. He's coming again, brothers and sisters. And the Bible says that if we live with this expectation, this hope alive in our hearts, it purifies us. We live differently because we know someone is coming. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming again soon. And he's coming sooner than we think.
And, you know, sometimes maybe for people of a different generation, older generation, used to hear sermons about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, you know, the beast and all that kind of stuff. And we've moved on from that now. It's a bit political, you know, especially in seminaries where we're trying to work out, is he going to come this lunchtime? And there's always a division depending on. But I do believe we need to remember that we are waiting for his appearing.
Amen.
Now, he may not come this morning, but he may come in a manifestation of his spirit that brings us closer to his coming. Mm. So there's his coming personally, and then there's moves of his coming. And what we need to be ready for at any time is for him to speak to us, for him to renew us, and for him to revive us at any time. And this is the hope that we can have in the midst of hopelessness.
Amen. Next
so
one.
There's this kind of 400 years of absence, know that?
Yeah.
Where they're waiting, and the prophetic is kind of absent, but we see something of the prophetic in angelic activity with Gabriel showing up to Mary in the story of the Nativity. We see him communicating to Joseph about where he should put the child because they wanted to kill the children. You know the story. All of this are echoes and communication where, you know, on the face of it, it's a disaster. The Roman Empire dominating and destroying the people. But in the middle of that, there are shoots and growth of hope.
Amen.
And we see that hope coming in a baby.
God,
that some people think that children don't have any significance and they should be put at the back. And one day that new generation of children will be somehow in the church when they should be allowed to speak prophetically now, as
Amen.
We see in the story of Samuel. And secondly, at 12 years old, Jesus rolling forward, how did he speak? With great authority, according to Scripture.
Yeah.
And the people were like, why did all that? So this is a call to us to give space, to give room for God to speak through anybody.
Amen. Next slide. So Dave was invited to speak at a youth conference in Peru a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
a few months ago, I would say. Weeks. And he saw this group of young people who are hungry for the things of God. He taught them, talking about the challenges that you face as a Christian in the marketplace or in your studies, even in the church. And then afterwards, they responded by just worshiping God and saying, your faithfulness is great. Great is your faithfulness. There is no one like you, Lord. And they rededicated their lives to the Lord.
So what you're seeing here, this is not a planned order of service. This was after the conference. They just came outside, sat around the fire. And then all of a sudden, someone picked up a guitar and started playing. And it went on and on. And I thought, you know what? Let me record this because I might not see this again.
Yeah.
This is a demonstration of the Spirit of God with a new generation. A new generation that normally not listened to, not respected, not given a seat at the table. But we can see something on the emergence of Baptists, young people of different groups from different parts of the world. This is how they're worshiping the Lord.
How great is our God.
Cantare quan grande es Dios
y todos lo verán.
Cuán grande es Dios.
And in English, how great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God.
And
God, sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great.